The scripture lesson for today comes from Psalms 119, verse 1 through 8. I was going to make it short for you, but I'm not. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to blame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteousness, your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Thank the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's turn to our gospel lesson. This is the word of God. For the people of God, in our midst, we sing these words and we stand that we honor them. If you're capable and comfortable standing to hear the word, please do so. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, the man asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to Jesus, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and beside him there is no other. And to love him with all your heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any questions." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. I don't really speak Hebrew, and I consulted with Renee a little bit because she speaks a pretty fair amount, does pretty well with it. And so it's called the Shema Israel. Shema means hear. So we reflected on a prayer that is referred to as the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's a traditional prayer in their denomination. It's one that is repeated in many of their services, often every service. And it's one that you teach your kiddos before they're going to bed. This is a prayer before you go to bed, is the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And so this young man comes. The scribe comes to Jesus and asks him which is the most important. And Jesus responds with the Shema Israel. It is a clear indication of several things. One is that the continuity between the Jewish Hebrew traditions and the Christian traditions. It is also a clear indication of how important it is to put God first in our lives. This is the most important commandment. This is numero uno, as they say. First and foremost. This is the very rule that is before all other rules. You know, sometimes we have rules at home. I have a rule that Melissa's not supposed to go outside when I'm gone. If there's a fire, though, she should go outside. So some rules are above other rules, and they have different priorities and different orders of things. And you need to understand this. But here we're hearing this rule that is the most important. Putting God first in your life. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all your energy, all your excitement, all your dreams, all your friendship, all your love. Put God first in everything. So we think about that, and we think about loving our neighbor as well. This is the new commandment in Christ. This is the numero uno that is our primary. And if there's nothing else you know about Christianity, if you know that, you've got a pretty good leg up on what's going on. We got a pretty good start. Now, this passage is about harmony. The title is harmony, and I'll explain that, but I Googled images because I wanted something about harmony to put on the cover. And I found this image, and I thought, oh, isn't that neat? Now, this is a little bit from a scientific background, that there's harmony between the balance. You see the balance of all of the, it's like a mobile. You've all seen those, and they all balance out, and everything works. And so this was listed as harmony. And I look at it, and I think about it. And I look at that scene, and I look at the beach, and I can just take a deep breath. How many of you find that when you get to the ocean? You can just smell the sea breeze. You can smell the ocean. There's something spiritual that happens there. There's a moment that you pause, and you just want to say, oh, Lord, how wondrous is all of your creation. Now, it's interesting that this would be a focus of mine. I'm born and raised in Colorado, and I have searched this state from every corner. I've been just about everywhere now, and I have not yet found a beach on the ocean in Colorado. I have found some beaches. I've found some sand dunes, and no lakes don't do it at all for me. So what is it about ocean that makes that happen? Some would say that about the forests when they come and see our great and wondrous forests. And there's a piece of that for me, but something about the ocean touches me. And maybe a piece of it is realizing the vastness of that and acknowledging God is bigger than we can possibly imagine. Greater, wiser, fuller, and we are just drops in the sand. Now, I have to look at the rocks, and the rocks are intriguing to me, but as I look at those, now, the picture is stable. It's a static image, but have you ever seen something like this? My neighbor down the street has one of those xeriscaped front yards. It's gravel, and they have little stacks of rocks piled up. Different times of the year, they're more stacked up, and other times of the year, they're more fallen down. And as I think about this particular picture, I think about standing there. Let's say you put this all together and you're standing there looking at it. I would be anxious. One good breeze and the whole thing's going to come tumbling down. Do you feel that when you look at it? One bird that decides this would be a good place to land and the whole thing's off balance. If it's California, one little earth wiggle and boy, everything's going to change. Isn't it true? So there's some anxiety about that. So balance and it's not about as much harmony. For me, there's a difference between balance and harmony. And I need to think that through. It's maybe the difference between being in a place where the troops are in the street to maintain the peace and being in a place where the people are in the street celebrating together. I've seen images in Pittsburgh over the last couple of days, over the last week. People very different. People with different denominations coming together, different languages, different colors, different cultures, and standing together. That's harmony. That's God's grace. So harmony. Choir filled us in on that this morning. There'll be joy in the morning. I tried to take notes. There'll be joy in the morning. There'll be peace and contentment evermore. Every heart, every voice will rejoice. The glory of the Lord will shine. There'll be love and forgiveness everywhere. There'll be peace. Did I get it right, Don? Did I get them all? And the way of the Lord will be restored. You are exactly right. Thank you. But joy and harmony. Is that what God is about? Restoring the harmony that was a part of the created order until we got kicked out of the garden? I don't know. But that's what we're called to be about in this centering ourselves on God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, energy, resource, money, children, everything. Worship God first. And then we hear Psalm 119. Didn't Sandy do a good job on that this morning? You know, I think she's read the Bible before. She has some experience there. That was a bit of a joke. A very little bit, huh? She read, "Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happier are those who keep the Lord's decrees, who keep God with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in the Lord's ways." Isn't that a lovely psalm? Happier are those who walk blamelessly, walk the pure lives. Amen. Harmony. I want that, but I read that and then I think, what about me? You see, I'm not quite blameless. This is dangerous for the pastor to turn to his congregation and tell the congregation that I am not blameless. There have been times when I've been driving in the car and I have thought things that people ought not to thought. I stopped traffic. And the light was very near a street intersection, so I stopped so that other people could still go through the intersection while we're all stopped. Car behind me drove around me and pulled in to that spot. I thought things I ought not to have thought. Didn't say anything, didn't do anything, but I thought in that moment, I still have feet of clay. I am not that blameless. That blameless is a big word. That blameless says we've all made the journey without getting our feet muddy or our mouths. All things have been perfect. So I want that. I would like that happy and blameless thing that comes, that harmony, that perfect harmony that comes. But what about people like me? That are there some of you that have feet of clay? Maybe the rest of you are blameless and you can tell me how to get there. I every once in a while just, I get a little angry. And I think, oops. I have doubts. And I think, Lord, I'm sorry. I know, trust you, but it's hard sometimes. Now, I know the rest of you don't have any of those issues. But those of us with feet of clay, how do we come to that blameless place? How do we get there? How do we come to enjoy that wondrous, happy moment from Psalm 119? We're going to celebrate communion today. And one of the things that we do when we celebrate communion is pause in confession. See, God seems to know that the majority of people do have feet of clay and that every once in a while things do go a little amiss and we do get a little bit out of whack and we do things that we shouldn't, ought to have done. And so confession is that time to come forward and acknowledge that that's happened with our hearts and accept God's forgiveness. You're going to find your hymnals somewhere nearby. Grab a hymnal if you will. Turn to page 12. You see, Christ invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, who seek to live in peace with one another. And he invites us forward and says, let us confess before God and before one another. Do you see where we're at, the confession and pardon? Let's read together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the next passage says, the leader says to the people, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. And then the pastor says this to the people. Now, I want you to hear this. Are you paying attention? The pastor says, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Your words to me. Thank you for that blessing. Thank you for those words. I might have feet of clay, but I can come blameless before God. I can come and be happy because I am blamelessly walking in the way of the Lord. And happy that I try and keep the Lord's decrees. And happy that I am at this moment in right relationship with my Lord God. So now I'm prepared to come. Are you? You know, the scripture at some point says if you're preparing to come forward for communion and you fail to forgive someone for something, you haven't forgiven your neighbor's trespasses, go and correct that and take care of it and then come back. So often as I'm preparing for communion, I think there's no way I can go to communion. I have a lot of people I need to connect with here and apologize to and be about. But here was our confession. Here is that place that we have come and put ourselves in right relationship with God. This is the harmony that we talk about. This is the harmony that we seek, provided that you have accepted the forgiveness that God has given you. Think about that. The hardest one to forgive me is me. I'm the one that keeps remembering things and keeps saying, it's hard to let go of that. But what God has done here is forgiven and cleansed us and brought us back into right relationship. Do we trust God? Do we believe God? Are we assured of God's abilities? Then we have to accept that forgiveness. We have to accept the forgiveness that comes by God's divine grace. Are we obedient? We must be obedient. And in that we will find peace. In that we find harmony. And in that we join with our Lord.